But what is her reaction? قالت, she said, رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ. Oh my Lord, how can I have a walad? Rabbi is Ya Rabbi. That how can I have a walad? And again, this question is not of shak. It is not of denial. It is not of doubt. But what is this question? For confirmation. And it is also for ta'ajjub, out of amazement, for istifham, to seek understanding. Like Zakariya alayhi salam also asked that how can I have a child when I have become old and my wife is barren? So his question was that how can I have a child? Am I going to be returned to my young age, to my youth? Is my wife going to become very young as well? How is it going to happen? So similarly, Maryam alayhi salam is asking that how is it going to happen? How can I have a child? أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ. And notice the word walad has been used. Zakariya alayhi salam used the word ghulam. Ghulam is used for a young boy. And walad is used for a child. Walid is used for a baby. So أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ. Whereas no man has touched me. يَمْسَسْنِي is from ميم سين سين مَس. And what does مَس mean? Literally it means to touch. And figuratively, the word مَس is used for sexual intercourse. So وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ. No man has touched me, meaning I did not cohabit with anyone. No man has cohabited with me. لَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ. We see that Jibreel was the one who spoke to her. Jibreel was the one who informed her of the birth of her son. But what does Maryam alayhi salam say? Rabbi, O my Lord. Jibreel is the one who is telling her, and Maryam alayhi salam is talking to who? To Allah. Why? Because she knew that Jibreel is only a messenger. He is only delivering a message. It is actually the decision of Allah. So therefore she speaks to Allah. And in our lives as well, sometimes people come and tell us something, and we start talking to them. We start discussing with them. Okay, it is fine to discuss with people, but it is better to speak to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what can people do? Really, what could the angel say? If Maryam alayhi salam even asked him, what could the angel say? He's only the deliverer. He's only here to convey the message. Similarly, people, they cannot change the situation. They cannot do anything. So it is always best to speak to your Lord. And she asked why? For the contentment of the heart. Rabbi, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? I do not have a husband. There has been no sexual relation. So how will I have a child? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ. He said like that. Meaning, just like that. Just as how you have been told. Allah said that you are going to have a child. And that's it. You are going to have a child. اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah does. Allah creates whatever He wills. Allah creates through a sabab. And He also creates without a sabab. Through means and also without means. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent on means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dependent on means. On worldly things. He can do something with sabab and He can also do it without a sabab. It's not difficult for Allah. And for us, really it's not something, you know, difficult to understand. If today people can clone animals, people can clone, you know, different creatures, there's only one specimen and you make the exact same copy, if that is possible by a human being, why is it not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create a human being without a father? If Allah can create Adam alayhi salam without a mother and a father, why can He not create Isa alayhi salam without a father? It's not difficult for Allah. Allahu yakhluqu ma yasha. Allah creates whatever He wills. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. When He decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He decrees a matter, He only says to it be, and it is. The word قَضَى is from قَاف بَادِيَة, and the word قَضَى is used for making a decree, for deciding about something. And it's also used for, you know, making a judgment. Basically the meaning varies depending on the context. Over here, it gives a sense of when He has decided, when He has decreed about a matter. With regards to creation, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Now the word kun and yakun, what's the root? كَافْ وَنُونَ. So, over here Maryam alayhi salam is being told that whether the child is born under normal circumstances or special circumstances, it is an action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the Khaliq, and He can do whatever He wants. So it is not difficult for Him. Nothing is difficult for Allah. And Allah can create whatever He wills. If you look at the variety of the creation of Allah, no two people are the same. No two animals are the same. There's so much variety. Some are big, some are small, some are tall, some are short. The colors are different, the qualities are different, the characteristics are different, the quantities are different. Why? Because this is completely in the hands of Allah. When Musa alayhi salam went to Fir'aun, Fir'aun asked him, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى Fir'aun said, so who is the Lord of you two, O Musa? Musa alayhi salam said, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى He said, our Lord is He who gave each thing its form and then He guided it. So Allah is the one who has created everything. And it's not difficult for Him to create a human being without a father. Why? Because إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ It's not difficult for Him. More qualities of Isa alayhi salam are now mentioned. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابِ And He will teach him the book. Who will teach him the book? Allah will teach him the book. And remember, the word kitab is used for book. It is used for something that is written. So kitab over here refers to the scriptures. Which scriptures? Like for instance, the Torah, the Zabur, the scriptures that were revealed before him. And kitab can also refer to Injil. And the word kitab has also been understood in another way. That kitab gives a meaning of kitaba. And what does kitaba mean? Writing. So He will teach him writing, meaning Allah will teach Isa alayhi salam how to write. And He will also teach him al-hikmah, wisdom. What is hikmah? The ability to understand and apply knowledge. What is it? The ability to understand and apply knowledge. It's easy to learn. It's easy to memorize. But the true test is the time of applying the knowledge. So, hikmah is the ability to understand and apply the knowledge. It's also said that hikmah is ilmun nafi', beneficial knowledge. What is it? Beneficial knowledge. Knowledge that benefits a person. And hikmah can also be understood as the laws of the deen, the teachings of the deen. So Allah will also teach him al-hikmah. وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ And especially He will teach him Tawrat and Injil. It is said that Isa alayhi salam had a very sharp memory. He was able to quote references from his memory, from different scriptures. And his writing was also very beautiful. So he wrote the Torah himself. It's also said that he received prophethood at the age of 30. And the other prophets, they received prophethood at the age of 40. Why? Because he was exceptionally intelligent. He had hikmah, he had the knowledge of kitab, he had the knowledge of the scriptures, he could write, he was taught many, many things. Now we see over here that Maryam alayhi salam, she was going to become a single mother. Correct? Many times, people don't wish to have children. Why? Because they're worried and they're concerned that how am I going to teach him? How am I going to train my child? How am I going to give tarbiyah to my child? We think that if we're with our child 24/7, all the time, only then we can teach our child something. Only then we can make sure that our child is learning properly. But the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives a tawfiq. Allah is the one who provides the opportunities. We learned about Hannah. Her husband was the imam. But who looked after their daughter? Who looked after their daughter? A prophet of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salam, who was not just the imam, but also a prophet. So never take children as a burden. Their ta'lim, their tarbiyah, their rizq, none of that is in your hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides. Maryam alayhi salam was going to be a single mother, but Allah is the one who taught Isa alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam's mother was also a single mother, but who taught Maryam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتٍ حَسَنًا We are not the raziq, Allah is the raziq. But we should have some aspirations, some hopes that our children grow up to be those who are learned, those who have wisdom. And for that we can always make dua. Recitation of these ayat.
قالت رب أنى يكون لي ولد ولم يمسسني بشر قال كذلك الله يخلق ما يشاء إذا قضى أمرا فإن إنما يقول له كن فيكون ويعلمه الكتاب والحكمة والتوراة والإنجيل.
So we see that Isa alayhi salam was not just taught one book, but he was taught Kitab, scriptures, Tawrat and Injil. And he was also taught Kitab, writing. And he was also taught Hikmah. If the education and training of our children was left only to us, could we do everything? We couldn't. We are dependent on other people. We're dependent on other means. And who is it that provides opportunities? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, training children, looking after them is a huge responsibility and we should be concerned. But never should this fear of responsibility make us feel that our children are a burden upon us. They're not a burden. They're a blessing. Allah has given you an opportunity to look after a human being. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And look at the scholars. They were يختصمون. They were arguing. They were disputing. Everybody wanted to have a share in it. So this responsibility should never make you feel that, no, I don't want children. I'm scared of having children. Because many people, they're literally afraid of marriage. They're literally afraid of having children because the responsibility is huge. It is huge. But remember, it's not in your hands anyway. Pray to Allah. You can always make dua. Pray to Allah to give you the tawfiq to do so. More characteristics, more qualities of Isa alayhi salam are defined over here in the following ayah. And basically, the miracles that he performed have been mentioned in this ayah. وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And a messenger to the Bani Israel. Meaning, and we are going to make him a messenger to the Bani Israel. Notice over here Allah says, وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Not to إِلَى النَّاسِ. Because Isa alayhi salam was sent especially to guide the Bani Israel, to remind them of what they were supposed to do, to remind them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And when he came to them, he said, أَنِّي indeed I. قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Indeed I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. أَنِّي is أَنَّ, that indeed, and ya meaning I. And over here أَنَّ is explanatory, meaning I am a messenger. And why have I come? The reason is that I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. Notice over here that so far the characteristics of Isa alayhi salam were mentioned. And it hasn't been mentioned as to how Isa alayhi salam was born, when he was born, what exactly happened, and when he came to the Bani Israel. No. Now directly from the time when Maryam alayhi salam was given the good news of the birth of her son, from that it's taken to when Isa alayhi salam came as a messenger to the people. So all of the middle details are not mentioned over here. Why? Because the focus is not that. The focus is that he was sent as a messenger for a particular reason. قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Which sign is this? This sign indicates my truthfulness, that I am indeed a true messenger. And what is that sign? What are those signs? That first of all, أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُمْ مِّنَ الطِّينِ. Indeed, I create for you from clay. أَخْلُقُ, I create, from خَلْق. And what does خَلْق mean? It is to make something, to create something, to give shape to something. How? In a proper way. And it does not necessarily include growth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something, what happens? It grows from one stage to the other. But when human beings make something, it's not necessary that thing grows. You just make a phone. You just make a machine. You just make a table. You don't make a small table and eventually it grows into a bigger table. No, that doesn't happen. So when khalq is used for human beings, the meaning is different. The connotation is different. And when it's used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the connotation is different. So أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُمْ, I make for you, مِنَ الطِّينِ, from clay. طِين is from the root letters طَيَّانُونَ. And طِين is used for clay that is wet. So basically it's a mixture of mud and water. Even if that mixture is not watery, even if the mud is just wet, it's just damp. But what is it? Wet clay, damp soil. So I make for you from clay. What do I make from mud? كهيئة الطير. Something like the shape of a bird. كهيئة. ك over here gives meaning of like, similar to. And هيئة is from هيا همزة. هاء يهيئ is to prepare something. It is to make something ready. And هيئة is the initial stage of something. What is it? The initial stage of something. The skeletal stage. You know, for example, a table is being made, and how do you make it? You just put the planks of wood together. And then eventually what do? You smoothen the sides, and you polish, and then you paint, or whatever. Right? So هيئة is the basic structure, the skeletal stage of something. So I make for you, from clay, something like the shape of a طير, of a bird. طير is from طيارة, and طائر is used for something that flies, a bird. And الطير is an ism جنس, which can be used for one bird or more. So I make for you something like the shape of a bird. فأنفخ فيه, then I blow into it. أنفخ is from نون فخ, نفخ, which is to blow into something with one's mouth, to fill something with air. So I breathe into it, I blow into it. Into what? Into that structure of bird. فَيَكُونُ, so it becomes طَيْرًا, a bird. How? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. Because any other human being could also try to do this. You could make a bird, something like the shape of a bird with mud. And you blow as much as you want, but it's not going to become a natural bird. So how come when Isa a.s. made a structure of a bird with mud, and when he blew into it, it became an actual bird? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. And you will notice over here that with each miracle, it has been said, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah, to show that Isa a.s. himself was not able to do it. It was only by the permission of Allah. It was through his hands, but it was by the permission of Allah. وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ, and I heal the blind person. أُبْرِئُ is from بَرَى هَمْزَة, بَرَاءَ, which is to become free from something that is مَكْرُوه, from something that is disliked. And بَرَاءَ is used for someone who is declared innocent of a crime. Because if you look at it, crime is something that is مَكْرُوه. If somebody is proved guilty, he is punishable, right? So bara'a is to declare someone free from something makruh. It could be an illness, it could be a crime, it could be anything. Over here, ubri'u meaning I cure, I heal. Because the disease, the illness, is taken away. So I heal who? First of all, al-akmah. Al-akmah is from the root letters kaf, mim, ha. And akmah is used for a person who is born blind. Who is it used for? A person who is born blind. He never saw. He never used his eyes. He could never see anything. So imagine, Isa alayhi salam healed people who had never seen a thing. And remember, his title was Masih, Masaha. He would wipe his hands over, and by the permission of Allah, the person would become cured. Similarly, a person who had never seen before, he was born blind, Isa alayhi salam would pass his hands over his eyes, and by the permission of Allah, he would be able to see. It has also been said that akmah is used for a person who is blurry-eyed, meaning whose vision is weak. Whose vision is weak, who has weak eyesight. Some have said that akmah is used for a person who can see during the day, but during the night, he is unable to see. So for example, someone who has very weak eyesight is able to see during the day when there is bright light. But as soon as things become dull, or when they become distant, or when they become too far, what happens? It's difficult for that person to see, or he cannot see at all. So, he could also cure a person who had weak eyesight. وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ, and also the leper. أَبْرَص is from the root letters بَا رَا صَاد, and بَرْص is used for leprosy. أَبْرَص is someone who is suffering from leprosy, a leper. So basically someone who has white marks on the skin. Basically it's a skin pigment condition. So وَالْأَبْرَصَ, and also the leper. وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, and I also bring the dead to life. How? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. The word مَوْتَى is the plural of مَيِّت. So we see over here the three miracles especially have been mentioned with regards to curing. What are they? that I cure, first of all, the person who is blind, the person who is unable to see. Then I cure the person who is suffering from leprosy. And secondly, a person who has died, I can also give him life. How? By the permission of Allah. Why were these miracles given to him? Why not something else? Like for instance, Musa alayhi salam was given the staff, which would turn into a snake. How come these miracles were not given to Isa alayhi salam? Like the miracle of the staff or the glowing head. The people of the time of Isa alayhi salam, they were very interested in medicinal science. They were very interested in medicine. It was the age when people were looking for cures for different things. And remember, any miracle that a prophet has given is something that is relevant to the people of that time, so that the people can be interested in it. And also, the miracle was better than what the people could come up with. It is said that these two conditions have been mentioned, of Abras and of Akma. Why? Because these afflictions or these diseases, the people of that time had no cure for. Today even, laser surgery for weak eyesight is very recent, isn't it? A person who has weak eyesight, what does he do? Just wears glasses. But at that time, for someone to cure your eyesight, for someone to cure a person who is blind just by the touch of his hand, and he's saying by the permission of Allah, what does that show? This man is not ordinary. What he is doing is not something ordinary. This is not the work of a human being. Just as the Prophet ﷺ was given the Qur'an. Why was he given the Qur'an? Because the people of that time, what were they interested in? Poetry, language, eloquence. And when they heard the Qur'an, famous poets, excellent poets, what did they do? They gave up their poetry. They said, that's it. Our poetry is nothing compared to the Qur'an. And they realized the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ through the Qur'an. They realized that the Qur'an was from Allah. Why? Because it surpassed their standards or their qualities, or their abilities. So similarly, when Isa alayhi salam was given the ability to cure the person who was blind and the person who was suffering from leprosy, that proved to the people that this man is a messenger of Allah. This man is performing a miracle. وَأُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ And he also gave life to those people who were dead. How? Again, by the permission of Allah. So he was not a magician or a sorcerer. Rather, he was a prophet of Allah. Over here we see it has been said, وَأُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى I give life to those who have died. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 110, we learn, وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى When you would take out the dead. What does it mean by that? When you would take out the dead. That a person who had died and who had been buried, died a long time ago, he was buried. Isa alayhi salam was able to give him life. How? By the permission of Allah. So this miracle has been understood in two ways. That first of all, he could give life to the person who had just died. And secondly, he could give life to someone who had been dead for a long time, who had been buried even. And that also proved to the people that this was not something ordinary. This man is special. He is a prophet of Allah. And it left no reason for the Bani Israel to deny Isa alayhi salam. وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ And I inform you. Unabbi'u from the root letters Noon Ba Hamza. Naba. What does Naba mean? Important news. To inform. So Unabbi'ukum, I inform you with what? بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ With that which you eat. That which you've eaten. I can tell you exactly what you've eaten. Just imagine somebody can tell you about what you ate for lunch or for breakfast or for dinner last night. وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ And also what you store in your houses, what you've hoarded in your house, in your closet, in your pantry, in your refrigerator, in your freezer, in your basement. Things that you've hidden, that you've stored, even you don't know about them, you've forgotten about them, I will tell you about what you've hidden. تَدَّخِرُونَ is from the root letters ذَال خَارَ And إِدَّخَرَ is to store something, to save something. And it also gives a sense of accumulating and hoarding something. Accumulating and hoarding something. So وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ Buyut is a plural of bayt. إن في ذلك لآية لكم. Indeed in that for you is a sign. A sign of what? My truthfulness. إن كنتم مؤمنين, if you're truly believers. What does this mean? إن كنتم مؤمنين, that if you're believers, only then you will benefit. Only then you will believe in me. Only then you will realize the sign and miracle. And if you don't believe, these miracles are not going to help. We learned earlier that Isa alayhi salam was wajihan. He was wajihan. And what was the meaning of wajihan? Someone who draws your attention towards you. And that he will speak to the people in kahl. Everybody speaks, but his speaking is different. Why? Because his speech was very effective. So obviously when he would perform these types of miracles, that a person is blind and he's able to see, a person is suffering from leprosy and his skin is cured, a person was dead and he's become alive, what I've eaten, he's telling me about it, what I've stored in my house, he's telling me about it. Could any person from the Bani Israel deny him? They could not. So all of these miracles were given to Isa alayhi salam so that the people would have no reason, no excuse to deny him. وَمُصَدِّقًا, and one who confirms, لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ, for that which is before me. What was before him? The scriptures. So those scriptures that were before me, I confirm all of them. And what are they? مِنَ التَّوْرَةِ, of the Torah. So the Torah that was before me, I have come to confirm that. How? In two ways. That first of all, by stating that the Torah was indeed true, was indeed revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of Bani Israel. And also musaddiqan in another way, that the Torah mentioned about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Isa alayhi salam. And when Isa alayhi salam came, it proved the truthfulness of the prophecy that was mentioned in the Torah. So he proved the truthfulness of the Torah. So مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَةِ. Why else have I come? وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ, and so that I make lawful for you. لِأُحِلَّ, this lam over here is of reason. تَعْلِيل. That why have I come to you? Another reason is that أُحِلَّ. أُحِلَّ is from halal. What does halal mean? Lawful. أُحِلَّ, I make halal. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ, I make lawful for you. بَعْضَ الَّذِي, some of that which, حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, that which was made unlawful upon you. حُرِّمَ, from haram. So some of those things that were made unlawful upon you, O Bani Israel, I have come, why? In order to make them lawful. How? Through the Injil. So we see over here that Isa alayhi salam was a messenger who was sent to the Bani Israel. And he was a musaddiq of the Torah. Meaning, he did not bring a new religion. He did not bring a new Sharia. He was a follower of Torah. He brought Injil. And in the teachings that Isa alayhi salam brought, there were only a few changes to the Sharia that Bani Israel were given previously. And what were those changes? Some of them were with regards to what was halal and haram upon the Bani Israel. Some of the things that were made haram upon the Bani Israel were made halal. How? Through Isa alayhi salam. What was forbidden on the Bani Israel? And why was it forbidden? We learned that some things were made haram upon the Bani Israel because of their zulm, because of their injustice, because of their wrongdoing. For example, in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 160, we learn, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Because of the zulm, because of the wrongdoing on the part of the Jews, we made unlawful for them certain good foods which had been lawful to them. They were lawful to them before, but they had been made unlawful upon them. Similarly, we learn in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 146, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفُرٍ. And for those who were Jews, we prohibited every animal of uncloven hoof. Meaning, an animal that has a hoof, and the hoof is not cloven, in the sense that it's webbed, for example, a duck. وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ, and of the cattle. وَالْغَنَمِ حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا إِلَّا مَا حَمَلَتْ ظُهُورُهُمَا. And of the cattle and the sheep, we prohibited to them their fat. So the fat of the halal animals was unlawful upon them, except what adheres to their backs, or the entrails, or what is joined with the bone. Why? ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغِيهِمْ. That we repaid them because of their injustice. So when they committed injustice, what happened? Certain lawful foods were made unlawful upon them as a punishment. I mentioned to you at the beginning of the lesson that the Bani Israel were chosen for something. And what did they do? They did not do what was required of them. They proved their unworthiness. And because of that, they suffered many punishments, many difficulties. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a final messenger to them, Isa alayhi salam, whom they could not deny at all, which is why he was given these great miracles. And also, so that he would remind them of what they were supposed to do. But when they disbelieved in him, finally, the blessing was taken away from them, given to the Bani Ismail. So we see over here an example of the wrong things that they did. It is stated in the Bible that, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I shall give you rest." So when Isa alayhi salam came to the people, what did he say to them? "I have come to you, I'm confirming the previous books, and I have come to you to make your life easy. Those things that were made haram upon you, I have come to make those halal. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I shall give you rest." So Isa alayhi salam created ease for the Bani Israel. "وَجِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ," and I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. Which sign? The sign that proves my truthfulness. Now if you notice over here, so many miracles were given to him. How come ayah, singular, is mentioned? How come one is mentioned? Because all of them are similar. All of them are similar. He would pass his hand over, cure the blind, the leper. Similarly, a person who was dead, he would bring him to life. So all of the miracles were similar in their nature. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ, and all of the miracles were pointing to the same thing, that he was true. So fear Allah and obey me. So we see over here that Isa alayhi salam told the Bani Israel, "Fear Allah and obey me." These are two things that every messenger conveyed to the people. What? Fear Allah and obey me. Follow me. Fear Allah and follow me. Why? Because if a person does not fear Allah, he is not going to accept the messenger. And even if he accepts the messenger but does not follow him, is his iman acceptable? Is his way acceptable? It's not. Both of these things are necessary. Both of these things are necessary, which is why even with us, what have we been told? That if you love Allah, what should you do? Follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ittiba' of the messenger is very important. What did he say? "Inna Allah Rabbi wa Rabbukum," indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So he clearly stated that he was a human being. Allah is my Lord. I'm not God myself. Allah is my Lord, wa Rabbukum, and he is also your Lord. Fa'buduhu, so all of you should worship him. So we see that Isa alayhi salam called the people to ibadah of Allah. Hada surat mustaqim. This is a straight path. What is a straight path? What is the straight path? Fearing Allah and worshipping him. Believing in Allah as Rabb and worshipping him. That is a straight path. Who is Rabb? The Khaliq, the Malik, and the Mudabbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq. We learn in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 14, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Allah is the Malik. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner. Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 189. Similarly, Allah is the Mudabbir. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Surah Yasin, Ayah 83. So exalted is He in whose hand is the realm of all things. So he is the Khaliq, the Malik, and the Mudabbir. Therefore, he deserves ibadah. If you look at the statement of Isa alayhi salam, "Inna Allaha Rabbi wa Rabbukum fa'buduhu." What does this fa mean? Therefore, as a result, he is my Rabb and he is also your Rabb. He is the Rabb of everyone. And because he is the Khaliq, the Malik, Mudabbir, it is he alone who deserves worship. Not someone who has been created. Not someone whose matters are being planned by someone else. Not someone who is owned by someone else. No. Only the Khaliq, the Malik, the Mudabbir. He deserves worship. Nobody else but him. So we see over here that Isa alayhi salam clearly conveyed the message of Tawheed to the Bani Israel. And the miracles were also presented so that they have no reason to deny him. Let's listen to the recitation.
ورسولا إلى بني إسرائيل أني قد جئتكم بآية من ربكم أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة الطير فأنفخ فيه فيكون طيرا بإذن الله وأبرئ الأكمه والأبرص وأحيي الموتى بإذن الله وأنبئكم بما تأكلون وما تدخرون في بيوتكم إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ومصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ولأحل لكم بعض الذي حرم عليكم وجئتكم بآية من ربكم فاتقوا الله وأطيعون إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم.
What was the reaction of the Bani Israel when they saw this? When Isa alayhi salam showed the miracles to them and when he conveyed the truth to them, what was their reaction? Disbelief, denial, which is what is mentioned in the following verses. And then Isa alayhi salam called the people that who will be my helper, and the Hawariyun, his disciples, they came up that we will be your helpers. But when the persecution became very intense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted up Isa alayhi salam to the heavens. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he conveyed the message to the people of Mecca, and when the persecution became very intense, he migrated to Medina. So the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from Mecca to Medina, and the hijrah of Isa alaihi wasallam was from this earth to the heavens. Inshallah, we learn about what happened from here in the following verses. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses from the beginning.
إذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه اسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين ويكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا ومن الصالحين قالت رب أنى يكون لي ولد ولم يمسسني بشر قال كذلك الله يخلق ما يشاء إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون ويعلمه الكتاب والحكمة والتوراة والإنجيل ورسولا إلى بني إسرائيل أني قد جئتكم بآية من ربكم أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة الطير فأنفق فيه فيكون طيرا بإذن الله وأبرئ الأكمه والأبرص وأحيي الموتى بإذن الله وأنبئكم بما تأكلون وما تدخرون في بيوتكم إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ومصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ولأحل لكم بعض الذي حرم عليكم وجئتكم بآية من ربكم فاتقوا الله وأطيعون إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم